Tribute. Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor. A Go Loud original podcast.
Hello guys, and welcome back to episode 16 of Unscripted. It's Christmas Day when you guys are listening to this. Well, I don't know how many of you will be listening on Christmas Day, but that's when it's going to come out. So happy Christmas to everybody. We have a very special guest in the studio today. The OG, in my opinion, the OG of Facebook.
I call it Facebook.
Facebook. Do you? Everyone slags me for that. Our guest is Enya Martin. Enya, do you want to say hi and introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. How is? Yeah, where I'm from, we call it Facebook as well. No shades. Yeah. But yeah, I started on Facebook, yeah, making videos.
Yeah. I can't believe you call it Facebook as well. Everyone gives me such a hard time about that in Dublin.
Do you say like book and bananas and all? Like windits and bananas and
no,
all? That's proper
no.
Dub, yeah.
No, book. And what do you say for kook?
Kook. Kook, and my mum would say kook and our cougar.
Yeah. Kook and kookies. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I think Kookie's a bit of a... I think that's a Niamh one, yeah?
That's a bit fair. Alex gives me such a hard time about that. He says it's mad culty. So I'm going to go home and be like, well, Enya Martin says it that way. So you're like, in my opinion, I was saying to Enya before the episode started, in my opinion, Enya's like the OG. Like when I think back to when I was... She was saying she was like 10 years on it. So when I was like 17, 18, I remember watching your skits on Facebook. You were like one of the first people that I remember following that were doing skits.
Yeah, like I remember when I started, there was like I could probably count on one hand the amount of people who were only doing it at the time. And like Facebook wasn't really a video platform. It was a platform like to be social with people, you know. It wasn't like TikTok or anything, whereas TikTok solely for video. But look, you make do with what you have. And I seen other people uploading videos and I was like, I'd love to do that. I'd love to give that a go. And I was like, obviously I held back for quite a while. Like I was a bit reluctant, what will people think and blah, blah, blah. So I started posting to my personal page. But like back then, like there wasn't the smartphones like there is now. Like they were kind of only in their infancy and they were like really, really shit versions of smartphones. So I didn't even record on my camera phone. Like I used like a DSLR camera because I liked photography at the time.
No way.
Oh yeah, like I was not an idle person. I always wanted to find a way to work for myself. So I experimented with a number of things. But media always like, I always got drawn into media, whether it be radio presenting, filming or whatever. And then I had my sense of humour, so I ended up fusing the two together and making skits. But yeah, I would record on a DSLR and I would use like Windows Movie Maker.
Oh my God.
That's how far back. And like it would be horizontally shot.
Yeah, and you'd have to like change it, would you? Or would it stay that
way? No, because it did the way video used to be uploaded on Facebook, it was horizontal.
Oh, yeah,
but now it's all like portrait mode, like with TikTok and stuff. So like obviously over the years then Facebook started adapting to like TikTok and Instagram, and now like you can upload reels to Facebook, but I don't really post much on Facebook anymore. Like, and I posted a video there only recently. It was like when you come up against your GP's receptionist, and the reason I don't is because people just don't have a sense of humor on Facebook.
No,
oh, like have you ever read the comments? Like, it's not even that they're trolling me. Someone was like, they take everything so literal. It's like, lads, it's a comedy page. Like, will you stop being so serious and taking everything so literal? Like, not all GP receptionists are like that. And then someone comes underneath, yet they are. And how would you know? Like, there's people having full on murder in the comment section. Now, I'm just kind of standing back, rubbing my feet together like a cricket line in the bed. You know what I mean? Like, reading all this, getting entertainment. And it's creating more engagement for the video.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, why are you taking it so serious? It's literally a skit. Like, I'll make a video about another profession the following week, like
but do you know what it is? I feel like the people on Facebook now are maybe an older age demographic.
That's what I think it is,
because when we used to, I feel like anybody like our age that used to use Facebook, we've all moved on to Instagram, TikTok. They're still using Facebook, because I know anytime I've had a few news articles written about me where they go up on Facebook, you know, like the Daily Mail or whatever it is. And it would have been when I was doing OnlyFans, like, and the fucking disgust, like these people are like, what a disgusting tramp, like writing the most horrible stuff. Whereas you wouldn't get that on Instagram, or well, maybe you would a little bit, but you know.
Yeah, I find that I totally relate to that. I think it's just an older crowd now on Facebook, and they take everything very seriously. They don't have a sense of humour. Like, they're literally on Facebook to like keep up with our sisters.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what's going on down the local bingo hall tonight. And like, yeah. In those community groups and stuff like that. Like, who's burgling gaffs in the estate and all. Like, that's the only reason they're on Facebook. But it's like, it's called Giz a Laugh. Like, the title on the video.
Yeah, it's right there. Read the title.
And
yeah.
then I even find, like, with news articles, like, I don't go into the comment section now. Look, it's not like I'm, you know, riddled with scandal, like, but sometimes, like, if there's a news article, like, oh, Enya Martin in Vicar Street, or Enya Martin, I don't know, like, brings someone up on stage or whatever, like, you'll go into the comment section and it'll either be a load of owlfuls saying, who's she? Never heard of her. Or else a load of owl ones being like, not funny. Who is she? Never heard of her.
Yeah.
It's just, why comment?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Why bother? Especially like at that age. Like the people that I see commenting on Facebook, sorry, no offense if any use Facebook, but the people I see commenting hate on Facebook are definitely way too old to be doing it. Like,
oh yeah.
Whatever about Instagram and TikTok, where it's kind of like there's a lot of kids on Instagram and TikTok. Facebook and yous are way too old, like, to be behaving that way.
And I don't know whether you can relate to this, but I just feel, not all men now, but I just feel 99% of the trolling I get, and I don't get trolled much now, thank God, because I don't really attract much attention to myself, but 99% of the trolling is from grown men.
Yeah.
Grown men, like, probably fathers, like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I actually feel sorry for your kids if that's the way you talk to people online, like.
Yeah, there's such a difference online. It's funny you say that, because when I started OnlyFans, right, there was a man in Ireland that started OnlyFans kind of around the same time. I had kind of been doing it for a couple of months by that time, but he started it a couple of months later, and under every article about it was all like, fair play, man, like, whatever, all this, like, very positive, like. And then for me, it was just dog's abuse. And I actually posted, I think it was on Twitter at the time. Now, I've had to delete my Twitter since that, because your girl gets abused on there. But it was on Twitter, and I posted it, and it went viral, because I was like, look at the difference between how they treat a man versus how they treat a woman. I think women are held to a different standard on social media.
And I think, I've noticed it as well, like, there's definitely two camps. Like, I think, like, there's genuinely a group of men who are very supportive and, like, they just mind their own business.
Yeah.
And then there's a group of men who are just riddled with misogyny. Like, yeah. It's like, do you know what I feel it is? It's intimidation. They're intimidated that a woman has confidence and they don't. Yeah. Like, I remember there was one particular incident where someone comments underneath a post, and it was me and someone else, and I put it on my Giz a Laugh. It was only actually a couple of months ago. I put it on my Facebook page, and I forget what it was now, but there was two of us in the photograph. And some guy commented underneath and goes like, oh, two tramps or something like that, or two gay bags or something. And I'm like, who even are you? Like, it's not as if I'm being offensive in the post or I'm trying to, like, attract negative vibes here. Like, it's literally me and someone else and being like, oh, delighted to meet this person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put it up on my story and I said, like, I actually feel sorry for people like this, because that's the way I view it now. I'm like, I actually feel sorry for someone who, you know, is that miserable. They have to try and bring other people down. Like, that's the way I view it now. I don't actually take it to heart anymore. Says more about them than it does about you. But my cousin seen it and he texts me and he goes, what did he say? He goes, a girl I work with is his next door neighbour.
No way.
He's like a miserable fuck. Like, he lives in his ma's box bedroom, doesn't work, has nothing going for him. And wouldn't be graced with the best of looks either. Like, again, like, taking his unhappiness and his anger at the world out on you.
Yeah. But that's exactly how I picture people like that, though. Like, no offence, but that is exactly how I picture them. I think I think you become immune to it as well. Do you find that throughout, like, the time since when you started to now, that you kind of get just a very thick skin and you're like, you kind of learn to look the other way? Whereas I know when I started doing social media, like, if you said anything to me, I was bawling crying. Whereas now I'm kind of more, I don't know.
It's like exposure therapy, isn't it? You kind of dread getting that first comment because you don't know how you feel. And, you know, for the first couple, it's like, oh, this is awful. And then you're just like, right, there's nothing I haven't heard before.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I totally relate to that, because now I look at comments from, like, grown men who, like, have, like, you know, the United crest as their profile picture or something. And, like, they're like, you're shite, nothing funny about you. And I'm like, I'm so hurt because Declan from fucking County Mayo, you know, all I wanted to do was impress you, Declan. That's all I wanted to do with this video. I'm devastated you don't find my video funny. I don't give two flying fucks. Like, I really don't. You're never going to buy a ticket to me show. Like, you'll never come see me. I'm not here to please you. I have my demographic who love me, who, you know, admire my comedy and they enjoy it. That's who I'm here to impress. I don't give a shit about you.
No,
like,
exactly. But I think that there's also an element where, like, this is such a off topic, but I feel like there's also an element of like, I think they have like a self-importance, a lot of these people, where like, because I get that as well, like just random ass people being like, you're an ugly cunt, I'd never touch you. I'm like, sorry,
who asked you?
Who said I would touch you?
And
you
know? As if I'd let you touch me, like as if the exactly. If the option was there, do you think I'd let you? Like
exactly.
And then like I think like a big part of it is like they're intimidated.
Yeah,
like, you know, they're like, who they come from a world where their ma cleaned the bath for them, cooks for them, still makes their bed for them. And the thing is, they're intimidated by women like us because they, I'm not saying like it comes down to like, oh, I'd never have a date with you or anything like that, but they just are, like, because in their world they think women are beneath them.
Yeah, definitely.
Who the fuck does she think she is, putting herself on a platform, getting loads of attention? And you see it under, like, I actually see some lads doing TikToks, you know, who are probably battling addiction and they're like a few months sober, and then like you get some lads just commenting underneath, oh, grow up here and all, like everyone does it, and you know, it's all a bit of fun and stuff, and it's like, oh, that's mint, I'll post that.
Yeah.
It's just jealousy. Like it's like, I know your ma used to say it years ago, like they're just jealousy, but it genuinely is.
Yeah, it's so true. That's do you know what? I'm so glad that I grew up being told that if someone was mean to me, that they're just jealous, because I feel like it really helped my ego now. Doing social media, I'm like, if someone calls me ugly, I'm like, yeah, you just think I'm gorgeous.
I like when I look at you, like, and I see how you deal with like hate and stuff, like I just think it's admirable, because I don't know, I wouldn't be used to that level of like pressure, you know.
Yeah,
how you do it.
Do you know what, I think I grew such a thick skin when I was doing OnlyFans. Obviously, like, anyone, OnlyFans is so touchy. Some people like it, some people don't. I have a different opinion even now from when I did it. Like, I kind of look back in retrospect and I'm like, okay, I wish I didn't do a lot of those things, but I was young, I was stupid, whatever. So I think because of that, I just grew such a thick skin now that it's like, you couldn't throw anything at me that I'm like, it's gonna hurt me. I've heard it all 100 times.
Yeah,
I've had everything done to me, like we said on a podcast before, but like I had people sending pictures of me to my brothers and everything, like awful stuff, like
Jesus.
Yeah, so I feel like because of that, I'm like, and thank God my brothers were very, I'm very close with them, and they didn't actually see them, but like they were trying to, it was coming up in their request saying like sent a photo, so like obviously they
kind of knew. Yeah,
yeah. How did you find when you just out of interest from your, when you started back then, how did you find the reception like in your hometown?
Yeah, like, do you know what? It's funny because there was people in my life, in my circle, who kind of thought it was a phase.
Yeah.
That I was going through, but like, all right, let's get out of our system. And I remember actually talking to someone who I was quite close to, because a couple of people had mentioned to me, you should make a public page. Because like I said, I was posting on my personal one. And I said it to a friend of mine and they were like, all right, like, don't get ahead of yourself there. Like, again, a lot of people thought it was just a phase and I was going to grow over. And look, I thought, like, if you had said to me in 10 years' time, you'd still be doing it, I would have thought, what? Like, as much as I would have loved to still be doing it.
Yeah.
I thought at one stage, you know, someone else will swoop in and, like, the market's saturated now. Everyone's doing it. But, yeah, I found a lot of people, obviously locally, started to pick up on it and, you know, would say it to me and stuff. And like, I was kind of very green back then, like, you know, content was a bit out there. Yeah, I was very inexperienced, but mostly positive. But again, I think some people just thought it was a phase. And then I think then when I started like doing Vicar Street and stuff, they were like, oh, like she's actually taking this quite far now, like she's taking it seriously. So
yeah, but it's mad to think that you've managed, like, you just started posting these videos 10 years ago, probably thinking really nothing of it, and now you've managed to build like a really successful career off it. Like, it's so crazy to think that, especially because back then, like now I feel like it's more common and there's definitely not the same like people being like, what is she doing or what is he doing when you post on TikTok now. I feel like everyone, like this generation, they're all on TikTok, they're all posting. But
and every like, I find like there's more niches now, like some of the videos that people are making, it's like, God, I never would have like thought of making a video like that back then. And like now there's people with millions of followers, like,
yeah,
you know, like I don't know who he, oh, I forget his name now, but he does those skits where like he pretends he's like in a British period drama. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Him, no.
And he dresses up like he's in a...
Oh, you'll have to send me him.
What's that show called again? Oh,
Bridgerton?
Bridgerton, yeah. Is that... He dresses up like characters from Bridgerton and I'll have to get his name.
Oh, send me his.
He's quite famous now. But things like that, you know? Yeah. But I have to say though, like you do have to... The landscape changes all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to... Like, I remember I used to hide behind characters when I started making mm-hmm. videos because I was afraid to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I barely do any type of character style videos, and I am myself on camera. Yeah. And that was kind of a hard thing to do because I was like, right, well, at least if people slag me, they're slagging the characters and not slagging Enya.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it was always in me because my dad's side of the family were big into performing. They were dancers, they were singers. You know, I used to always go see my cousin Laura in the pantomime. She recently came to see me in Vicar Street. Like, so.
Oh, so it's like full circle.
Yeah.
Moment.
But I think it was in the genes. I mean, ma's mad as well. So I definitely got whore madness. Yeah, but yeah. I definitely think I was destined to do what I'm doing. It didn't just happen by accident.
Oh, no, definitely. You definitely. Know? Especially because you started it so long ago. I feel like back then, there wasn't as many people doing it. So it was more like, I wouldn't have even thought back then. This is why it like kind of, I think about it. Because when I think back to like 10 years ago, I would have never even thought of uploading videos on Facebook. Like that would have never come into my head. So the fact that you even thought to do that, it had to have been in your genes, like a path that was meant for you.
It was, you know, I started seeing like Darren Conway. He was one of the first
as well.
And I was like, oh, like that's really cool the way he's uploading funny skits. Like I'd love to do something like that. And again, I held off for a while and then I was like, just bit the bullet and I said, fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But upload it to my personal page first. But yeah, like, and you know what? I always used to think, I always felt like I always wanted to work for myself. I hated it all working for someone else. But I was like, right, but what's it going to be though? Because what am I actually good at? And it was staring at me in the face all along. Because like, I would be very funny in school. Like I'd be a bit of a class clown. And I never thought I'd make a living from doing that. Because I really enjoyed business studies. So I went to college and I studied advertising and marketing. And it was in the last kind of years of college, last 2 years, that I started making the videos. And I was like, I actually think I found what I really want to do now. And again, I had signed on my CAO, like signed up for like radio production, media production, loads of things like that. But I knew there was an element of creativity and advertising. So I said, right, if I don't get them, at least I'll get that. And I did get that. But I remember reading a book somewhere and it said, like, you don't need big fancy studios like this. You don't need big fancy equipment. Work with what you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're really good at what you do, it doesn't matter. So I literally had that DSLR camera.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about like fancy cameras. I'm going to have to go out and spend fucking thousands to get someone to film this for me. I had a tripod and I had a laptop with Windows Movie Maker. And I was like, right, I'll just do it like this. And I YouTubed a video on how to make videos and stuff. And so like, because I called the page Gizalap because I didn't want it to I didn't want to be self confined to a character. Like I didn't want to call it like Shanto, like, because that was one of the first characters.
I remember Shanto.
Oh Jesus, yeah. Like she was one of the, God, when I look back at some of the videos now, like a brand wouldn't touch me with a barge pole. If I was to make those videos today, they were fucking out there. Narcotic Central, like not that I was doing narcotics in them, but I heavily talked about narcotics. That's what happened then. I didn't confine myself to just a character. And I called it Gizalap because it was going to be a series of sketches. And I actually visualised it being on the telly, like a sketch show being on the telly. So that's why I called it Gizalap. And I said, you know what? RTE aren't going to come knocking on my door anytime soon. So I'm going to build my own door.
Yeah.
And yeah, lo and behold, it took a while, but now I'm making a full-time salary off it. Like, yeah. You know?
And you've built, like, I know we were talking a little bit before, but you've built your... You've built a whole career off it. You have a book. You're doing shows. She has, and you do want to talk about your show that you have in Vicar Street?
Yeah, so I actually remember I used to go by Vicar Street on the bus when I was doing internships.
Yeah.
And there's actually another bit of a full circle moment now I'll mention. I used to do an internship in town and I had done like 5 minutes on stage. I got roped into doing like 5 minutes on stage. And I really didn't want to do stand-up. I was like, I can hide behind my laptop.
Yeah.
But And I never feared stand on stage and speaking publicly. And I used to love like doing drama workshops and like doing plays and stuff in school. But having to like stand on stage, tell a joke and wait for people to laugh. Like I obviously just thought the worst, they're not going to laugh. They're not going to find it, but I'm going to die in my hole. But got roped into it. I said, fuck it, I'll do it. I'm all about like just feel the fear, do it anyway. And it actually ended up going down pretty well. And then I would go by Vicar Street then on the bus when I got the bit of a comedy bug, like the stand-up comedy bug. And I was like, I'm going to perform in there one day because I know like it's an iconic venue for Irish comedy.
Yeah.
And like this will be my 10th show on the 8th of March in Vicar Street.
That's
like,
amazing. Like that is such an accomplishment. That's insane. You should be so proud of yourself. Like if I ever got to do anything in Vicar Street, you'd never hear the fucking end of it. That'd be it. I'd be like, give me a crown. I'm the queen.
Oh, look, I think it's within reach and distance for you now, to be honest.
Hopefully one day, guys, keep listening to the podcast. Well, no, that's amazing. And you have a show. When is it? The 8th of March?
the 8th of March, and then the full circle moment was I got asked to do a corporate gig
right
last week. And it was for the company that I did the internship with. But I don't think they did. There's obviously a new team of people working there, but I don't think they knew that I had worked from before. Like before. So when I turned up on the night, I don't really like doing corporate gigs, to be honest, because they can be a car crash. People are there to get pissed and not there to listen to comedy. It was a Christmas party. And the manager came up and I said, I used to work for this company. I did an internship for you. It was gone back in 2015. She was like, oh my God, really? I was like, yeah, do you remember this person? Do you remember that person? She was like, yeah. She was like, I wasn't here at the time, but they still work here. And then when the CEO introduced me on stage, he said she actually used to work here.
Oh, so they remembered.
Yeah, they actually mentioned to the staff. So like, isn't that mad?
Yeah, that is. That's full. That's one of them moments where you kind of have to sit back and be like, I've made it. Like, I've made it. I used to work here and now I'm performing. Like, you're performing your comedy for the people that you used to work for.
Because I did used to sit at the desk doing Excel sheets and I was like, this is not for me. Yeah. Like, I feel wasted sitting at this desk. I should be doing something else. And it was when the video started taking off. Like, I think Mean Girls was set in Dublin. That was one of the first proper viral ones.
Yeah.
And that was on Facebook as well. And I was like, yeah, I just think I found me calling now. Like, and I didn't get kept on now in the internship. Yeah. And I just thought that was a sign.
Oh, that's one of them. You know, like the burnt toast theory. Do you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Where if something like, I think it's like if you burn your toast and you're late in the morning, it's for a reason. But I believe in that. Like, I 100% believe
I was meant to be. Like, and I'm delighted it did happen. As much as I was gutted, I couldn't tell you what the next 10 years is going to look like in that moment. But I said, you know what? I'm probably going to be on the dole for a few months because I was working Extravision at the time. I was doing two jobs, internship and Extravision. Got made redundant because it closed down. And yeah, I went up to the local enterprise office, told them, I said, look, I'm self-employed. I do a bit of stand-up. And they knew that then. So I used to get a supplement every week.
Yeah.
And then I started working with like an agency. That's when like kind of like sponsored content started coming in and stuff. And then I started doing a tour. I got in touch with my manager and got me first car and stuff. Like, it's mad looking back because back then you think, how am I going to, I'll never forget. Like, there was one particular Christmas. It was only kind of in the start where I started making a bit of money off the videos and the shows. Like, I was tight for cash one Christmas. And I remember like sitting in Liffey Valley Food Court saying to me fella, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to buy presents or anything. Like, you know, I don't have any work coming up this December. I only have this much in my bank account. Like, how's it going to carry me through for the next 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I thankfully haven't lived like that now in a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful, like, so fucking grateful. I wake up every day and I'm like, Jesus, like.
Thank God.
Thank God I stuck it out, you know, and I didn't go back to working in an office.
Yeah, thank God you did. I know everything, like in the moment it feels shit, but thank God you did get made redundant. Thank God you didn't get the internship, because who knows if you would have had the time and energy to put into the videos if you had a cap working there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in listen to your gut. And I remember my gut used to keep screaming at me, and this is not for you, this is not for you. Like, right, you didn't get kept on, but like, this is what you want to do. Like, you want to like make videos for a living, and it's probably going to take a while, and you're probably going to be on the dole for a while. Like, I remember I used to have to stretch like £100 over 7 days.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, and now I'll just walk into like Zara and fucking
spend the 100
minutes,
quid. Like, yeah. So that's another full circle. I think this is a sign to anybody listening, because I know there's so many fucking people that are like, I want to be an influencer, I want to do social media, but I'm too embarrassed. Like, what will people say? What will people think of me? Just fucking do it. Like,
find something that you're passionate about. Yeah. And like, I have a coaching page as well. Like, we'll get to that as well. But I try to bring my personality across in that, because there's so many people who coach people online and they make content and they're very like monotone in their videos and they're very like, you know, deadpan into the camera. There's hundreds of people doing that.
Yeah.
Like, how you stand out is showing a bit of personality. Like, there's some people who make content online, but they don't know what they are. They're making a bit of everything. One minute they're doing outfits, the next minute they're doing food. And it's like, no, what are you known for?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to be known for? Or that's the girl who always does those videos.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's the girl who always does the skits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's really, really good advice. I feel like it's so important as well. Like, showing personality is so important. I feel like, I don't know, even with me, when I did, like, I used to go by Nevo, and that was my name. And I know, like, it's similar to my name, but that was definitely like a character in comparison to me now. I feel like I'm way more open now and the reception is way better now. I feel like when you are yourself and you show personality and you let people into your life a little bit and let them feel like they know you, you just get a better reception and more people feel connected to you. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Like I have a social media mentor and he, because I have the coaching Instagram page. And yeah. I have a fitness app now, and the company.
Oh my god, you're doing so much! You're like a businesswoman of the year over here.
Ah, stop! Like I'll stop, bro. But I am. I don't know how. Like my social media mentor was saying to me, like, you know, the more outspoken you are, the more of yourself that you are.
Yeah.
Something different that you can offer people. Like the more you're going to attract.
Yeah.
Like, see the way you'd be very outspoken. Like, there's so many people terrified to give their opinion online. And I think that's why, like, you have such a big following. Because people are like, fair play to her. Like, she actually speaks out and she tells everyone what she's thinking. Whereas I'd be a bit like hide in the bushes and like keep my opinion to myself. Do you know what I mean?
See, it does open up. Like, there's kind of pros and cons to it as well, isn't there? Because like it does open up the door for so much hate when you are very outspoken. Because say with me, like, I'm very opinionated. I need to learn to shut my fucking mouth sometimes, like, but I just can't. I always
have to. That's who you are, and you're saying true to yourself.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm like, Jesus, because the thing about an opinion is there's always going to be people that have a different opinion.
Yeah,
and then you're going to get a million people down your throat. So now, don't get me wrong, I will always be fucking out, so I can't shut my mouth. That's just how I am. If something's annoying me, I'm like, I have to fucking say it right now. But sometimes I'm like, Niamh, why did you do that? I had to stop reacting. I don't know if you remember, I used to make a video back to every fucking person that left me a hate comment.
I used to be pissing myself laughing. That's what attracted me to your page. I was like, oh my god, I actually love how she just like obliterates them. Like,
no, I would end, like, they delete their whole accounts.
There was a comment, there was a video you did, and I think it was just like, oh, she's so funny. It was about some girl's teeth.
Oh, I remember, because she commented on my teeth, that one, in the fucking video behind me. And I was just obliterating her.
And she ended up deleting the comments. And I know we only spoke about it a while ago, but it was like, sometimes I find when you reply to them and you're like, oh, whatever, blah, 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 who do you think you are? I sometimes find they try to bait you. And then they're like, oh, no, I was only messing with you.
Oh, they do that all the time.
Yeah.
That's so annoying. Like, no, you weren't messing.
You thought the only way to get my attention was to say something negative.
Yeah.
Now I'd bite, like.
Yeah, I got so bad. Like, I was... Now, don't get me wrong. Like, any video that I would post, for instance, someone, like, would get... It would go viral. But I had to stop doing it because I was like, I'm actually... Like, number one, no brand is going to touch me with a fucking barge pole when I'm doing this. Number two, no, it was actually making me get more hate because people were like, oh, well, she'll react to me if I just... I don't know why they wanted me to.
Like. Again, like, yeah, little attention seekers just dying to get a bit of their 5 minutes.
Oh, that video, I'm actually thinking back to that. I know exactly what fucking video. I think that went viral. But then I felt really bad as well after, because I'm like, I shouldn't feel bad because I think that girl was commenting on my teeth and I was like, well, hon, your teeth aren't great either, kind of thing. But I felt bad then after because I was like, oh my God, everyone's rinsing her in my comments, whereas she only left me one comment. Now there's about 500 comments to her. But
I hope she's learned from it.
Yeah, it's a learning lesson.
It was the hard way of learning, unfortunately. She had to find out the hard way.
It's a life lesson, yeah. And I know you have your book. I think that's amazing. Like, do you know, Alex says to me all the time, he's like, because my life, I feel like I've had so many eras in life. Like, I've had a lot of personality development, I think.
Maybe I think that could be a box set about your life. And each season is like the era that, like, you know.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. You know, someone actually, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, in 2021, I was approached to ask to be do like a doc, like, you know, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, to do something like that about my life. But my family were like, not a fucking hope. Like my dad and all's real.
They had to be included. In
yeah. Like it was going to be like the, you know, the way like when in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they follow you around them around the house and it's about the whole family. That's what they kind of wanted. But a lot of my family were all for it, but my dad is so quiet. So he was like, oh my God, no, I couldn't. And I was like, right, no, I probably couldn't do that either. It's very invasive. Like,
Yeah, you kind of have to respect boundaries. Like, yeah, you know, you don't have an issue. Like, I don't have an issue being online.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in, like, you can be private. You can put a lot of your life online, but still be private at the same time. You know, like, my fella hates, like, being on social media. He has a page. It's private. And he's not a very, like, social media-esque person.
Yeah.
You know, but he's been with me since before all this happened.
Yeah.
So he's had to kind of grow with me, and like, he's still anti-social media. Like, he'll never be comfortable. Like, he'd never jump on and do a Q&A, or like, we listen and we don't judge. Like, I couldn't give him all the money in the world for him to do that.
No,
like,
no. And you know, that's one of the biggest, like, because obviously me and Alex got with each other like 2 years ago, and obviously he fucking has social media, like, but he hates, like, he just doesn't like, he's probably a bit like your fella, like, he doesn't, I wouldn't say he's anti-social media, but he's very like, keep my social media for my music kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but now it's so funny because every time he gets drunk, he loves being in TikToks when he's drunk. So every time he gets drunk, he's like, set up the TikTok there, we'll do a TikTok. So the next time I must make him do that, we listen and we don't judge.
My fella's a chef, so again, like, he'd use his social media to like see what other chefs are doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, upload pics and stuff of his work and that.
Yeah.
But he's so insecure. Like, just about what, oh, he made to slag me and all.
Oh, that's Alex to a T.
Yeah.
To a T. And I'm like, do you know the funny thing is, I'm like, they wouldn't. You just think that they would. Well, maybe they would. We think that, but I think boys are more.
Yeah, if I dressed you up like a ballerina, of course they'd fucking slag you. Like, yeah. But it's like,
yeah, imagine him being in your skits as one of the girls, like.
not for all the money in the world, I'm telling you. But yeah, like, he's grand about it, but at the same time, like, I have to respect, like, if I remember I said to him, I goes, well, we ever got married, right? And like, a magazine said, we'll give you 50 grand if we can take your photos.
Yeah.
Now, it wouldn't be an Irish magazine anyway, but like, he's like, no, I wouldn't.
And
I
was really?
Like, grand, you wouldn't want their pictures in a magazine. And now, look, I'm not a sellout. I'd have to really consider it as well.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, wouldn't do it. And I'm like, you say that now.
Oh, if 50 grand is on the table, I'm doing, no bother. You can have a full invite to the fucking wedding, document the whole thing. Should I pay for the whole wedding?
Fucking hotel room that night and all. Yeah.
Film it all, no problem.
But like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's how private he is.
Yeah.
He wouldn't want people seeing that, like.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of the harder things as well about social media is that, like, even family members and stuff, there is going to be certain people in your life that kind of don't want to, it's not an issue, but don't want to be on the social media. But it can be tough to navigate that as well sometimes, I find, anyway, because I do a lot of, like, I would do a lot of kind of about my own personal life. And then I'm like, say when me and Alex moved into the house, I was like, Alex, get in a video, like, tell them we moved in the house. No. I'm like, it's both of our houses, so
something
sometimes
to celebrate, like.
Yeah. So what about, has your boyfriend ever wore matching jammies with you?
Oh god, no. I'm trying to think what has been the closest thing to like social media suicide to him. I honestly, like, sometimes if we're cooking together, like when he's cooking at home, I'll, you know, maybe take a clip of him and stuff like that. And as much as it kills him, because he doesn't want to come across as vain.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, don't put that up and all. I'm like, but if I turn around and say, oh, someone said your roasties look a bit burnt, and what would they fucking know? You know?
Yeah. Me and Alex have wore every Christmas over matching Christmas jammies, right? Because obviously, like, I do like a lot of content of my life and like vlogs and stuff like that. So I'm like, I want the matching Christmas jammy pictures to put on my Instagram feed. But he's so, again, like, we have war, like actual war. He put up a video about it on TikTok because he's obviously getting a bit more into TikTok now and posting a bit more on TikTok. But he posted a video about it on TikTok and he screenshotted our WhatsApp conversation, and it was me fucking rallying him, being like, you don't give a fuck about me. And he was like, can I post this? I was like, no. People are going to be like, she's a fucking psycho.
And did he post it?
No. Oh, are you? Right. Mad. No fucking way. This is the thing about Alex. See, he doesn't like being in a TikTok video, but he'll post our private fucking conversation. It's given hypocrite, Alex, if you're listening. Oh yeah, your book. How did you come about the idea to do a book?
So again, like, I did the Born Toast theory.
Yeah.
I used to do a video about Rory Stories. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like years ago, back like kind of when I started, well, a couple of years into it. But
he was on Dancing with the Stars, wasn't he?
No, I don't think he's been on it yet.
Oh, has he not?
No, he was on The Late Late a couple of times, but he did a few books.
Okay.
And there was one stage where we kept making videos together. Couple videos, yeah. And a lot of people thought we were together, and I were like, no, we're just two mates, like having the crack, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you know, this will be my tour book. Why don't I do it on couples and you can co-write it with me? And then he ended up pulling the plug on it. And, you know, I said to the book company, oh, could I write my own? And they're like, oh, we don't think you're well known enough for like the book to do well.
And oh here, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. And a few years had gone on then. And then O'Brien knocked on my door. O'Brien Publishers knocked on my door and said, oh, we'd love to do a book with you, Enya. Mm-hmm. This was like last, not October gone, October before. No, I think it could have been spring, not this spring, spring before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I don't know what I'd do it on. And they were like, well, you know, you've a very creative mind. Like, I'm sure you'll think of something. And I said, well, look, I always do videos on groups of girls, you know, that meet in the group and whatever. Yeah. And they said, yeah, well, try base it around something like that. So I said, I don't think I could do a fiction book yet.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll do a funny self-help one, like how to navigate. It's called One for the Girlos.
Yeah.
I think it was originally going to be called How to Navigate Female Friendships, but that is ultimately what the book is about, like how to navigate the WhatsApp group, how to navigate a girl's holiday. And like you'll open it and it'd be like, you know, if this happens on the girl's holiday, this is what you'll do.
Yeah.
Or what to expect on the girl's holiday, what to expect on a night out.
Yeah.
How to handle a breakup if your best friend breaks up with a fella and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All that. And it's all funny, like, and it's all like loads of scenarios in each chapter and stuff, like, so.
Yeah. And I feel like that fits your content really well as well. Like it fits into your kind of niche. I feel like a book is like something like, I don't know, I'd feel so achieved if I had a book. So you should be really, and you're like a businesswoman of the year. You have a book, you have Vicker Street, you have an app, you have your fitness page. Jesus, I need Enya's motivation, everybody.
I think I'm going to start doing like a business course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm only joking. But
you should.
Genuinely.
Yeah. I would sign up. No, I feel lazy now because I'd be like, if I have an ad, like, I will literally for a whole week, I'll be like, oh, like, I'll just, I procrastinate everything. Now I'm sitting here, like, looking at all this. I'm like,
oh, I do. Oh, no, I do procrastinate big time.
Oh, so like, bad.
They only gave me like 8 weeks to write that book.
Did they?
Yeah, I nearly had to do a chapter a week. There's like 9 chapters in it and it was intense. But if I have a deadline, like, I know I'll work better. But if they tell me, I'll just, you know, submit it whenever you're ready, that would have been like, submitted like 2 days beforehand, like
yeah
maybe even later. But no, I actually got assessed for ADHD and I have it, like,
oh really?
Yeah, I seen a video on TikTok, actually an Irish company, I think it's called ADHD Now, and I was like, oh Jesus, like all them symptoms, like they kind of line up with the how I act,
how you feel. Yeah.
And I did a number of sessions with the guys in ADHD Now, and they said, yeah, like you have it, you lean more towards the inattentive side.
Yeah.
And they told me, like, your symptoms, like, you procrastinate a lot, you get overwhelmed, you get overstimulated, everything. And I was like, do you know what? I'm actually a lot kinder to myself now because I don't think now that I'm lazy anymore. I'm just like, do you know what? I just have a different way of learning things.
Exactly. And do you know what? I always think a lot of people that are very creative online, very creative and kind of have a different mind, can do very well online. I think a lot of people that do probably are some way neurodivergent, because it's like a different, you have a different outlook and a different way of thinking. Like a lot of people that I know online, I'm like, no, you're definitely neurodivergent, you know what I mean?
And then
Alex, like I said this on the podcast before, I got assessed for autism and I got diagnosed with autism, but now sometimes I'm like, I think I'm like more ADHD than autism, but Alex is like so, like, he's really neurodivergent, the way his mind thinks and the way he goes on. And
I think you have to be talented. Like, definitely, because you stand out from the rest and you have a set of balls, basically, that a lot of people don't have. Like I said, Gara Woods, that's my fella's name, terrified to put himself on camera, talking in front of the camera. To me, don't give a bollocks. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I feel like it makes you maybe think outside the box as well.
Yeah.
That's what I always say about Alex, the way his mind works for music videos and stuff. Like, it's so, there's just nobody else that could have a mind like that.
It's like a superpower. It's like a sixth sense, I think.
Definitely.
You know, he'd probably think of lyrics in his head when he's going for a walk, and I think jokes while I'm going for a walk.
Exactly.
Like, they just come to you. It's bizarre. Like, it really is. But I notice as well, like, if I have a lot to do, say for instance today, I'll have to make a list. Like, last night I made a list on my phone. I was like, right, if I don't make a list, I'll end up forgetting to do half of this.
Yeah. I'm major at like procrastinating. Like, if I have a deadline of like, Niamh, we need this like content in for a week's time, like, I will do it on the day that it needs to be submitted. And I do it. Do you know what it is as well? Like, I probably shouldn't be saying this on my podcast, but I find paid, like, work that I'm getting paid to do very difficult. Whereas I find TikTok, if I'm just posting videos like myself, I find that easy. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I'm like,
comes to you more naturally probably when you're doing it yourself. Like, even when that corporate gig, they were saying, oh, will you slag this person? Will you slag that person? And I'm like, it doesn't work like that though.
No.
Like, I can't just show up on the day and automatically just have loads of material about, like, you know, Aaron who fucking does graphic design. Like, I don't know him from Adam. Like, whereas if, like, I'm relaxed, I'm in a relaxed environment, I get to know you a bit more. Like, that's when the creative juices start flowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because this episode's coming out on Christmas Day, we're going to ask a few Christmas questions. Lauren, guys, wait till you see, like, at the end of the episode, Lauren has put in some Christmas cracker jokes, and they're the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, are you a fan of Christmas? Do you like Christmas?
Yeah, I think the best part about Christmas, and I know people who come home from Australia say this as well, the best part about Christmas is the build-up.
Yeah.
Especially, like, obviously December, because that's where it falls, but especially, like, even this week in particular, like, I've gigged a lot over this month, and I've basically been on people's night out.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm sober when I'm on stage gigging, you know?
And,
like,
yeah,
I'm seeing everyone in their Christmas jumpers, all the, listening to the same Christmas songs over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's just a great atmosphere, it really is. And, like, I talked to my friends from Oz, and they said, like, you don't get that over in Australia. Like,
no.
Christmas Day, everyone's probably around each other on the beaches and stuff. But
it's
totally different. So I'm a big fan of Christmas. But I don't know whether you feel this as well, but some years compared to others don't feel as Christmassy, but this year in particular now does feel very Christmassy. Do you find that?
Yeah, definitely. I think, see, I'm not a big fan of Christmas, but this year I went out because we moved into the house. I went out and I spent a shit ton of money, way more than I should have, on Christmas decorations. Like, we have two fucking trees up in the house and all. So I did that to try and get in the Christmas spirit, but I made a very bad mistake, and I put them up like basically early November. So, like,
take a scene.
Yeah. I'm like, get this down. But my sister, it's funny you say that about Australia. My sister's in Australia. And only last night we were talking on the phone. She was saying that, like, it's sweltering hot over there for Christmas, that they have Santa on surfboards. I'm like, what? What is going on over there? Like,
it's weird seeing a tree covered in snow and 28 degrees. Like, you know, it's not the same. Like, I know a lot of people who go away for Christmas. I think we're lucky we live in a country where it's cold in December and it feels, and, you know, it gets dark early and stuff. But I love Christmas. But like I said, I think some years are more Christmassy than others.
Yeah, definitely. I think do you know what as well? I lost my nanny December 4th, like 4 years ago. So I think for a lot of people as well,
brings up a lot of trauma. Like,
it's like the worst. Like, nanny, I love you to bits, but for fuck's sake, December, like, you couldn't wait until January. You know what I mean? It's like the worst time. If you have lost someone, then it brings up all them emotions. But no, definitely, I think some years I like Christmas, and then other years I'm like, fuck this, get it over and done with.
I think your work has a lot to do with it as well. Like, I find, you know, if you're walking constantly, you don't get a chance to soak up the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That I'm lucky that, like, I'm smack bang in the middle of it for what I do, you know. But if I had to walk away in an office, like, 40 hours a week, and I didn't get to go out much, I think.
Yeah, when I used to work in an office, I remember there was one year, it was a fucking call centre, lads. Like, where did they think they were going? They wanted us to come in on Christmas Day to work in a fucking call centre. Like, are you okay in your... I'm sure people will... Like, who the fuck's going to be ringing on Christmas Day? Like, in fairness, it was for electricity, so maybe they would have.
Yeah.
And do you find, because I know you're a PT, do you find after Christmas you get a lot of sign-ups with the whole New Year's resolution thing?
Yeah, and like, I used to be one of those people myself, but what I will say is, if you have to do a diet every January, it's not a very good diet. Because you should only have to do it once.
Yeah.
Because what I'll say is, like, let's say I was talking to you and you were like, yeah, I want to do a new year, new new me. I'm like, right, well, why do you have to do another diet this year? What was wrong with the one last year? And, yeah. I'll tell you what, it's like you went in at 150%. You bit off more than you could chew. You started cutting out entire food groups, living in the gym.
Yeah.
And you weren't able to sustain it. So yeah. Why don't you just start off with walking? Don't even pay attention to the scale. Still eat your biscuits, still eat your crisps, just not the whole fucking box. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And eventually you'll start liking it because people start doing things they don't enjoy and they can't stick to it then. So find something you enjoy, whether it's walking or running. And, you know, maybe don't have the whole box of Kimberly, maybe just have one or two. Like, you don't have to completely restrict yourself, but you should. I think once you learn about portion control and do an exercise that you enjoy.
Yeah.
You won't have to do a diet every January.
That's
shooting myself in the foot when I say that. Like, but it's true.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like, I went through a mad gym phase like a few months ago. No, it was actually 2023. I went through a mad gym phase, like, and I put up a big post on Instagram, being like, I love the gym now. Like, I went to the gym for about 2 weeks after that and never went back. Not even the other day, Alex was like, I'm scared of you. Like, this post still on my Instagram, me being like, the gym changed my life. And then I never went back. But no, I do that. Exactly what you're saying. I go in and I'm like, right, I'm not eating this. I'm eating so healthy. I'm going to the gym. I'm walking. And it's like, then I'm like, fuck this. I hate it. And I just quit it all.
Yeah, because you're not enjoying it. You can't sustain that. Like, and I always say to people, oh yeah, when they're cutting out sugar, I'm going to cut out bread, I'm going to cut out chocolate and all.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so what happens when you actually go back to eating that and you live like a normal human being again and they end up putting it all back on?
Yeah.
Find a bit of balance.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to cut. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be chicken and broccoli and excess cardio, and it doesn't have to be, you know, well, if I have to do that, then, you know, I'm going to have to cut out everything I love. Like, it's, there is a bit of balance. But like, you do get a lot of sign-ups. Look, everyone, no matter if you're a coach or, you know, a professional athlete, everyone overindulges at Christmas time. Yeah. And it's normal and it's human. But, like, I think if you overdo it all year round, like, yeah, you just need to probably just educate yourself a bit better with food and exercise.
Yeah. I'd say if you've seen my diet now, you'd have a fucking stroke. Like, there was a point there where I was drinking about 5 or 6 bottles of Lucozade a day, like, not zero sugar.
My friend used to be like that.
Yeah, so bad. And then I realised, because one day it just hit me, Lucozade is full of glucose. I was like, I'm actually going to give myself diabetes. Like, I have to stop. But then the sugar-free ones, like, same, I went through a phase of Coke. And, like, it was can after can of Coke every single day. I don't know how. Well, I have loads of cavities in my teeth, so that's why. But, like, my fucking stomach could be ripped out of me and everything. But I'm so bad for sugar and fizzy drinks in particular. That's, like, my, like, weak spot. And, yeah, I've gotten better. I drank, like, 4 litres of water yesterday. So I was like, I'm doing good.
That is really good, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, last week now, I was drinking 6 bottles of Lucozade today. So...
That is, I remember my friend, like, she ended up putting on a lot of weight. Like, it was like an addiction nearly. Like, she was just addicted to drinking bottles of Lucozade.
Yeah, Lucozade is so, do you know, I've heard so many people, my aunties both had an addiction to Lucozade. I definitely have an addiction to Lucozade. It's so addicting, like, so, I think fizzy drinks in general. And I know everyone was giving out about the sugar tax. It probably is stupid, right? They should probably be putting their money in better places. But I can't understand it as well, especially with, like, younger kids, because it's so readily available to them, like, even like cans of Monster and stuff. Like, I can't imagine when I was like 13. Well, actually, I say that, but when I was 13, do you remember BPM?
Yeah, remember I thought that tasted like muck though. I didn't like that
at
all.
I'd still pick up the odd bottle of the red one, but do you remember the green one?
Continued.
You can't get that. But yeah, the fizzy drinks is my sore spot. I feel like that is their. I think it's just so normal now to drink fizzy drinks all the time.
I don't know how people drink full fat Coke, and not because of like the calories around like that. Well, kind of. I'm just like, I'd rather just drink Coke Zero and like spend 150 calories on a packet of crisps.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like that. But I'm also like, I just don't like the taste of it, and it puts like a film on my teeth and stuff like. I love a can of Diet Coke now, but you know what? I used to drink 3 or 4 cans of that a day. And then when I started getting mad into the gym, I was like, I need to drink more water, because you do feel it in your muscles and stuff if you don't drink enough of it.
Yeah.
But say it'd be like 2 o'clock in the day and I'm like, oh, I'd love a fizzy drink. And I'm like, but have I had any water today? No.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll drink a bottle of water first before I get a can of Diet Coke. Do you know what I mean?
That's actually disciplined. Very. I need to take I need to take some of your advice. But yeah, fizzy. I feel like, I don't know what it is with me with fizzy drinks. I think, do you know what? I wasn't allowed anything. Like, my mom was a bit nuts and we weren't allowed anything.
I think that causes rebellion.
It does.
It's the same when you do a diet and you're like, right, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that. You want it even more because it's like a child being told you can't have that. You want it even more then, you know? Yeah.
You crave it more because you can't have it. That's definitely what it is with me because when I was younger, we weren't allowed anything. No sweets, no fit. Like the odd time we'd get a sweet and we'd get a biscuit after our dinner every day, but like we did not drink fizzy drinks. We did not eat unhealthy food or sweets or whatever. Like my version of sweets when I was younger was like a Squares bar, like, you know what I mean? So then when I became a teenager and I got kind of freedom to eat, all I was eating, like I remember sitting in my room eating like...
Because you knew you could then.
Yeah, tubs of Pringles. I gave myself kidney stones when I was 15 from eating nothing but noodles, super noodles. Yeah. I was going to have a stroke over
I actually remember though, like I don't, please do not try this at home, right? But if you know what I mean, like let kids learn to hate it themselves, right? Because they will eventually get sick of it. Like I remember my friend got caught smoking and back when, you know, when they used to sell like 10 packs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
10 smokes in a pack. Her ma made her smoke 10 smokes in one sitting and like that girl never smoked again. And I was like, now you know how bad they are for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, my granddad done that to my auntie, you know. Do you remember, I don't know if they still have them, but you know Carol's, the real old man cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
They're like real strong. When he caught my auntie, I think it was my auntie smoking, he made her smoke cigarette after cigarette after cigarette and she went out and vomited, but she still fucking smokes. So it didn't work on her.
That'd be my mouth all over you.
It didn't work on her. What's your favourite Christmas song, actually?
Oh, I actually put something on my story there yesterday. So I have a top three.
Right.
So I'll start from number three. Right. So the reason I love Christmas songs as well is like every morning when we used to open our toys, my dad used to play like a Top of the Pops cassette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now like a VHS tape.
Yeah.
And it was from like the 80s and he used to play it every year when we were growing up and Wizard was on it, you know, When the Snowman Brings the Snow in.
Oh yeah.
So that's number three. That was one of the songs on it. Number two is obviously Fairy Tale in New York.
Right.
Yeah. I love like when it's the end of the night in a pub or something like that. And like,
yeah, yeah,
everyone's
yeah.
just hugging each other and like, you know, merry. And then number one is Wham, Last Christmas.
Oh yeah, I've been really into Last Christmas this year. My number one, I'd say, is Fairy Tale in New York.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. My nanny used to sing it. We used to get really, like, my nanny would be locked, like, drinking. She'd be passing me and my cousin, like, we would have been underage at the time, but she'd be passing me and my cousin Captain Morgan's an orange under the table. And sure, we'd all be fucking locked and my nanny would be, like, screaming at the top of her voice. So every time I hear it, I'm like, I think of her. Probably similar to your one. I feel like when you have nostalgia connected to a song.
Yeah, oh, big time. Like, it's like a, you know, when you smell a perfume and it reminds you of a certain time in your life. Like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And like, I think anyone who first learned the Fairy Tale in New York, it was followed up by, you know, she was hit by a speedboat, don't you? Like, it's like, I actually remember being in school the day that happened. Or, well,
where,
the day after. Yeah, I was in assembly and the principal addressed it. And yeah, so that would have been like, I'd say the early 2000s, I think it was, yeah.
Jesus. I thought that was like in the 80s or something.
No, no. it was actually fairly, well, not fairly recent, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Shane died there last Christmas, just before Christmas. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Wham, Last Christmas. I just love the instruments and all, and it's just so Christmassy, even the music video.
It is. And do you know, just fun fact about Fairy Tale New York for anyone listening, I didn't realise this. You know, they actually didn't intend that to be a Christmas song. It was meant to just be a song. And then because they said it's Christmas Eve, everyone interpreted it as a Christmas song. And now listening to it, I'm like, hold on, the only reference to Christmas is that they say it's Christmas Eve.
Oh no, I think actually there's another line in it and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day. Yeah, I'm actually, really did.
Maybe that fact is wrong.
Well,
fact check me.
Yeah, like I don't really know whether there's many. I think the instruments are always a big
key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we, like, fucking composers?
I know, yeah. And do you have a favourite Christmas movie? Do you know what I'm trying to think? I don't think I have one.
I think it's a battle between Home Alone and It's a Wonderful Life. Do you ever watch It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Oh, it's really nice. It's a bit like The Ghost of Christmas Past.
I haven't seen that one either.
It's a bit grim now. The concept is a bit like The Ghost of Christmas Past. It's a bit grim because your man's going through a really, really tough time. He has a family and he's broke. I think he got robbed or something like that. And now it's back in the 40s or something. Like, it's in black and white. And he actually wants to commit suicide on Christmas Eve and an angel visits him.
Oh.
It's like he goes through, like, he's brought into the future and is like, okay, you've jumped into the river. Now this is what would happen if you didn't exist.
Yeah,
I think he says, I wish I was never born or something.
Oh.
And it shows what his wife would have ended up doing if she had never met him. It's what his brothers would have ended up doing if they had never had a brother like him and all. And it's actually really wholesome. Now, I won't spoil the ending.
That's a good concept.
If you're not doing anything Monday night, it's on the Stellet and Ratmines.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, no way. The thing is, though, I feel like I'm kind of the generation. Well, I didn't have internet growing up. We had like dial-up internet. And then when I was...
a drink.
Yeah, when I was a bit, when I was a bit older, we got internet. But I think I would have been like a teenager by the time that anybody was really using like Bebo and Facebook and all. Did you have Bebo?
That's how I met my fella on Bebo, yeah.
No way!
Yeah.
That is like, that, and yeah, that's like mega. Like, you met your fella on Bebo.
I know.
And you're still with him,
like, what the fuck?
I love, do you know what? Sorry, I'm going so off topic. I'm real scatterbrained today, but I think back to Bebo and I'm like, bring that back. I loved it.
Do you know what I miss about it? There was so many photo albums on it that I didn't have saved to my computer. And like, they were like proper, like old school photos. In school, nights out in the park.
Yeah.
I'm fucking raging. Like, then it just got deleted one day.
That was it. Yeah. Because I think we all started moving to Facebook for some reason.
Yeah, 2009, I think, is when I joined Facebook.
But you remember Share the Love on Bebo? Remember Valentine's Day, you get unlimited loves?
Yeah. Or like your other half. Or like, remember profile views?
Yeah.
That was like the equivalent of like TikTok views, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you remember? Oh, I'd be laughing about this all the time. Do you remember you had your top 16, was it?
Oh, and I used to get so competitive.
Oh, and you'd like, if you had a falling out with someone, you removed them off your top 16. Like, everyone would know about your fucking fallout.
Oh, there was like a town hall meeting or like a group meeting on MSN. Being like, what the fuck's going on here?
MSN, I miss, like, I think back to the days of like Bebo and MSN. And I'm like, I wish we could go back to that.
I can't describe the feeling to anyone who never experienced it, right? But you remember like when there was someone that you fancied and you seen them log on and it just do and you're like, your heart to drop it, be like, okay, act cool.
And do you remember, what could you do? You could nudge them and it would shake their whole screen.
Clingy vibes.
Yeah, no, I loved that. I always think, because do you know, I think back. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I would have just been a bit too young. But you know the trolling that's on the internet now? Now, don't get me wrong. You'd get bitching on Bebo. But I don't remember there being fake pages and all. Do you?
I don't remember being fake pages. No, I don't remember trolling being a thing. Like,
no.
I think Twitter was a thing that started that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Twitter is a set. Like, honestly, I'm too opinionated for Twitter. So I go on Twitter and I start arguing with all these people that, like, it's troll accounts, like, and they're only looking for a reaction. So I start arguing with all these people. And then next thing you know, there's like thousands of them, like, on my page. I'm like, right, I had to, like,
thousands
flock into my page. I had to delete. I had like a couple of viral tweets. And then there was
it's like a lighthouse for the crazies.
Yeah. Oh, thousands, like, and calling me all sorts and madness. So I just deleted the app off my phone. I said, I'm not dealing with you.
Yeah, I don't like it. I never scroll on it ever. Like, I don't mind Threads too much. I actually find that very educational.
Yeah.
But yeah, never use Twitter anymore. But I think that's, yeah, Bebo was actually a nice place for that. And it was a bit toxic with the whole top 16 thing.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It affected you in that way. And then MSN, you know, like, there was no such thing as like group chats or anything. Like,
No, there wasn't. And even, do you know, I find back then, like, there was definitely cyberbullying back then, but it was more like if you fell out with your friend and you started bullying each other. Like
MSN, yeah, I think MSN was a bit like that. Like, everyone could just text you and be like, what the fuck? And, you know, I'll wait and I see you in school tomorrow, like that type of thing.
Do you remember the thing? And it was on.
It was like a virus.
Yeah.
That was LimeWire.
Oh, LimeWire was chaos. The amount, I got a brand new fucking, do you remember the Sony Vaio laptops?
The viruses back then were built different. I couldn't see that much.
Oh, and we put them onto our own. We, for fucking Rihanna, what was it? Rihanna, S&M or whatever. We download that song and 20 other fucking viruses along the way.
Or like when you had the hard drive, like PC, desktop, like, and you used to turn it on with your toe, you know the way like you used to have?
Oh
my, that's how big like a hard drive had to be. Now when you look, like, I have a MacBook here and like you can fit it all in something the size of a piece of paper. Like,
yeah, oh, it's tiny now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they were fucking huge. And there were so many, like, do you know, a lot of the time, I remember being so embarrassed, guys, right? When I was like, I got a laptop, my first laptop. It was like a Dell Inspiron. My dad works in like IT, so it was his old laptop. But I was very young. I was like 11 because I used to play Stardoll. Do you remember Stardoll? And I ended up clicking on something and obviously it put like porn on the screen, right? And I was only like 11. But sure, I didn't think anything of it. I clicked off it and went about my day. Sure, didn't my fucking mom and dad look at my internet history and I got in shits. Like, I got in so much trouble. They thought I was looking up the porn, but it was, I obviously was on like 1, 2, 3 movies or something. And you know the way they come up at the side? It was probably a naked woman. And I was like, what's that? Clicked on it. I was so embarrassing. But yeah, the LimeWire was fucking awful.
OnlyFans is written in the stars.
You know, I used to be like, I people don't believe me when I say this, but do you remember back in the day, I don't know if they're still in it, but you know the Page Three girls that would be in the newspaper, like I would go over I'd go over in the shop, pick up the newspaper to look at the Page Three girls. I was a fucking
do they still do that now?
I don't think so. I
is
hope
it, is
not
it kind of like frowned
weird.
Upon now, like, because it's a bit objective.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
Women, yeah, it is.
And do you know what? It's because it's like it's not behind like anything. It's just in the newspaper, like.
But like I remember I used to go down to my nanny's every Saturday, and my uncle used to always get the paper, and like he'd just be flicking through, and like he'd just briefly pause, and then like you know keep turning, and I'm like, you know, did they ever think like, oh, there could be kids around when people are reading their papers? Because they're morning papers.
Exactly. That was my thing. It's like, it's not even on a website. It's not on a, it's just on a fucking paper and they're sitting on the shelf in the shops. Mm. Sure, I used to be walking over and reading the fucking, looking at the Page Three girls. So I was fascinated for whatever fucking reason. I don't know. I obviously must have seen something when I was younger and it traumatised the life out of me for the rest of my life. Right, lads, now, Lauren was left with the task of finding these jokes. And when I tell you they're some of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Christmas cracker jokes are bad though, aren't they? Like, that's the whole fucking
thing. Oh, they're supposed to be corny, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to read them to you. See if you can guess it right. And then I'll tell you. We'll see if we can make any crack a single fucking laugh.
Excuse the pun.
Right. So why don't you ever see Santa in hospital?
I don't know why.
Because he has private health care. It's so bad.
Proper dad joke, isn't it?
No, I feel like people listening to this are going to have secondhand embarrassment, Lauren.
This is usually where they tune out.
Yeah, they're turning it off. Right, next one. What do reindeer hang on their Christmas trees?
What?
Ornaments. Lauren, for fuck's sake. I can't take this.
Is that supposed to be like a dirty joke?
I don't know.
Ornaments?
No, because they have they don't even have horns. They have fucking antlers. That is stupid.
Anthemins.
Right. When is a Christmas dinner bad for your health?
When you're borderline, I don't know what.
When you're the turkey.
Jesus. That's a dark one. That is
that
grim.
Hope
there's no vegans listening to this.
Right, I'm only doing one more because I can't read these, lads. I have like, you know when you're like secondhand embarrassment. Right, let me see the best out of the next treat. Oh, right. This one's, who's Rudolph's favourite pop star?
Who?
Beyoncé.
Beyoncé? Oh, God, lads. Leave the comedy to me, seriously.
Lads, I'm fucking ripping this up as we speak. That's brutal. Brutal, Lauren. Terrible.
If you hadn't got on to me, I would have wrote you a few.
Yeah. Anya, do you have any? Give us a Christmas cracker joke.
Oh, God, do I have any? I actually don't. Yeah, put me on the spot.
I'm putting you on the spot now. I don't have any jokes. Do you know that's one thing about me? Do you know I was only saying yesterday? I am only funny if I'm angry. I can't be funny unless I'm angry, because when I'm angry, I say the most out of pocket shit. But like,
oh yeah, like your response to the trolls, prove that.
I can't. I was only saying yesterday, I need to start like on my episodes where I'm on my own. I need to start making myself angry before. Like, I need to go and read stuff about myself or something. So I'm coming in fuming.
I have a joke, but it's like someone actually told me to do today, but it's not like a Christmas joke.
Right, go on.
It's like, what do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back? A stick.
That's better than the Chris
lame
joke.
Lame.
That's better than the Chris. Lauren, where did you get them? Like, did you look up the worst possible Christmas cracker jokes?
The article I looked up was actually like the top 100.
That doesn't say a lot about Christmas cracker joke, does it? Right, guys, I think them Christmas cracker jokes will have turned enough of you off listening to the episode. So we will start to call it a day. But I'm going to put you over to Enya for a second.
Yeah, so if you're looking for any late Christmas presents, yeah. my book, One for the Girlos, is available in all good bookshops, Eason's, Dubray, a couple of others around town. And I'm on in Vicar Street on the 8th of March as well, so you can still get tickets for that on Ticketmaster.
Everybody get tickets and buy the book or I'm coming for you. Right, guys, that is officially the end of our episode. Enya, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
It's been a pleasure. I feel like 17-year-old me, 18-year-old me would be like going, what the fuck right now? So I feel accomplished.
Full circle moment.
Yeah, exactly. That is a full circle moment. But thank you so much for coming on. And do you want to give your at actually on Instagram?
Yeah, so you can find me across Facebook, TikTok and Instagram, Giz a Laugh, like I'm sure of you, with a Z or a Z, whatever you call it. If you just type that into the search bar, I'm sure you'll see me with the blue tick.
Perfect. And if you want to follow us on Instagram so you can get involved in episodes, guys, please do, because we have so many listeners that do not follow us on Instagram, okay? And I'm actually taking personal offense to it. I tell you this every single week. It's at Unscripted Go Loud on Instagram. Okay, guys, thank you. Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.